Well, my name is Greg Hughes. I'm 20 years old now. When I developed Wi-Fi sync, I was 19. Just had my birthday. And what I do, well, what I do, I'm a student primarily. So I go to the University of Birmingham in the UK, and I do computer science there. So obviously, I have a natural interest in computers, and it was drawn to kind of the idea of researching the iPhone and kind of reverse engineering sort of how it works. And one of the things that I was looking at was the sync process.
Well, let's
So
talk about
that's
that because I think that the application is it's an amazing idea. It's just terrific, a terrific and natural idea. Why don't you describe briefly what the application does?
well, it basically allows you to synchronize an iPhone. Rather than use a USB cable, you can just do it without one over a wireless network. So, and you can use your existing wireless network for that. So it basically does away with the need for a physical connection.
And without getting too in the weeds of technicality, how does that work? I mean, how easy is it to do something like that over a wireless network as opposed to a wire?
Well, technically, there's no reason why it can't. I mean, as long as you can transfer the data between the computer and the iPhone, which of course you can. There's no reason that you can't do it. The only reason that Apple haven't done it's not a technical limitation. They could probably do it in a very short amount of time if they wanted to. But I guess the main reason that they've not done it is speed, which is obviously a bigger issue if you don't have a physical cable to use.
Speed
So
as
that's what
in the amount of time it takes
yeah, the
for.
amount of time that it takes to do a sync. And if you think about, some people will have, lots and lots of movies and music, and if you're trying to send all that over a wireless network, it is very, very quickly going to get saturated. So that's probably why they've avoided it.
So, how long did it take to get the first versions of the app up and running?
Well, the way I did it, I kind of built this prototype because initially I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I thought that surely this can't just work. Surely you can't just build this into the phone. Apple would need to do it. So I tried it anyway. I came up with a method in which I thought it would work, gave that a try, came up with a prototype, which maybe took a week or two, and that worked. So I'd kind of proven that it was possible to do it, and then I just basically tidied up that prototype and turned it into something that could be shipped out to users.
And so at that point that you had that you finally had the app, what did you do? How did you take it to Apple?
Well, there's a kind of unified process that everybody's supposed to submit their app to Apple through their iTunes Connect website. So you submit your app and all of its details, and then they will review it. They have a team of reviewers who will check it's okay and check it's not malicious and make sure that it fits into what they would allow on their app store. So I did that, and maybe I think it was about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from a guy from Apple basically saying that they weren't going to accept it. Which I'd expected, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Because what the app does, it essentially tricks the phone into thinking that it is actually plugged in. And it uses a method to do that, which isn't what you would call, well, it's not documented, and it's certainly not approved by Apple. And they are very strict criteria for their App Store submission process. And one of the things is that you're not allowed to really do anything that they haven't kind of explicitly documented, if that makes sense. So obviously they said no.
So you had expected them to say no. Is it typical for them to call up an app developer, in person and tell them, or, is that something that they did just in your case, or?
I think it's happened to a few. I've spoken to people that's happened to. I don't think it happened. They do it to everybody. I think it was just because of this kind of the special nature of this particular app and all of the media interest and all of that sort of thing. I think they thought maybe they could straighten things out before I went away and said, "Well, Apple have said no, and they haven't given me any reasons." So I guess they wanted to preempt any kind of backlash.
Yeah, that was going to be my other question, whether they gave you any other kinds of excuses for having rejected it, or any sense of how you could appeal or try to
No,
resubmit it.
there's no real appeals process as far as I'm aware, and certainly the conversation that I had with this guy at Apple didn't indicate that. But to be honest with you, I wasn't that bothered because I expected it to happen, and I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to fight back. So I just kind of took it as it was.
So at that point, did you already have a plan of what you were going to do with your app?
Yeah, I knew about Cydia because I've previously jailbroken my phone, and I knew that.
And Cydia is the platform for the dominant platform for jailbreaking.
It's basically the alternative app store for people who've jailbroken their phone with all sorts of goodies and apps that Apple would never allow people to install. So that was the kind of the next logical step for me.
Is there a similar submissions process in that, or is that just how does that work?
I believe there's a web page you go to and you just fill in all your details. It is quite similar to Apple, but obviously there's no huge team of testers and no real QA or anything like that. So it was certainly a lot faster than Apple would be. There's a sort of a submission process there.
So what has been amazing to me is how this app has still become very successful in spite of not being on the dominant app store provided by Apple. At least from what I've seen, it's been pretty successful. It's got a lot of coverage, and it makes sense because the app is something that I think a lot of people logically they see the utility in that. So how has it been? Has it been as successful as you'd hoped, or more successful, less successful?
Yeah, well, there's two things really to take away from it. First is that the wireless sync aspect, the concept is really interesting to lots and lots of people. And I would say Apple made a mistake in, not accepting it onto their store. Or they've also made a mistake in not doing it themselves, as clearly it's a feature that thousands and thousands of iPhone users want to use. And the other thing it shows is that Cydia is quite a legitimate platform now. It's grown and matured into something which is really quite powerful. Wi-Fi Sync has sold, as of just now, over 17,000 copies. I imagine if it was free or if I charged less for it, then that would be even higher, that number. So it really does show that people are willing to jailbreak their phone in order to get something which they perceive as, having some value to them.
Is it ever frustrating to you that, to think that if you had this accepted to the App Store, the kind of market that you would have been able to reach?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hold any grudges because it wasn't accepted. And as far as I'm concerned, it was never going to be accepted. So the App Store, to me, it's just something which I was never going to get into anyway with this particular app. So I don't really try to think about that. I'm sure, obviously it's clear that if every iPhone user had access to an application, then it's going to sell more. Whereas if only a small subset of iPhone users, i.e. people who have jailbroken, can buy my app, obviously there's going to be less people using it. So that's just I don't hold any grudges.
Well, I can imagine that's the very graceful approach, because I can imagine for some app developers that it would be, if they can't reach the kind of market that they want to reach, the return on investment wouldn't be, as good as it could be. And therefore, you couldn't put that money back into fueling more apps and building potentially a small business.
Absolutely. Well, you have to remember that if Apple had their way, there wouldn't be a jailbreak. So people who got rejected from the App Store, they would have nowhere to go. So if Apple say no, and you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars developing an app, you'd have wasted your money because there's no way to get it back because you can't sell it. So, it's very, very worrying that they have that kind of power. But that's the way things are at the moment.
Does that result for you in something of a chilling effect? Does that make you less likely to want to develop for the phone in the future?
No, I think Apple are very clever about it because they know very well that they've got an absolutely fantastic development platform. This is something that people really, really want to develop for, and the evidence of that is just the sheer number of apps that are submitted to their store. So they don't really care because people are still going to develop for it. The risk of not getting accepted by Apple, for most people is quite small because they do accept almost everything that falls within the rules.
And the other question I was going to ask was, do you have any awareness of what your rights are as an app developer, perhaps to the intellectual property? So you had been saying earlier that Apple could have done this themselves, and they very well could do it in the future. Couldn't they have, by rejecting you and sending you to the, you know, the essentially what's a kind of a black market of apps, you know, kind of frozen you out from potentially, you know, having any claim if they decided to replicate what you've done?
Well, this is Apple we're talking about, and from things that you read in the press and whatnot, I get the impression they're not particularly worried about trampling on people's, you know, trademark rights and that sort of thing. But that aside, you know, you can't really protect this kind of thing. This is basically just a very general concept, the idea of wirelessly syncing a phone with a computer. It's even very hard to define, and I'm not a lawyer, so I have no idea. You know, it will be interesting to see if they do it and how they do it, because obviously, it's obviously someone's beat them to it, me. you know what I'm trying to say. I think we'd have to wait and see what they do first.
Right, right. Well, and a lot of the frustration around the App Store has been in just their confusing, like you said, they've got a very secretive kind of set of rules, and they've had a lot of app developers. I mean, it sounds like from your case, you've developed an app that didn't take that much time to develop compared to many of the other apps out there, but other much longer, you know, higher investment apps have been developed that have been rejected eventually.
I suppose one example of that would be, I think it was Google Latitude or something along those lines. Or is it Google Voice? That was one case where I imagine Google will have spent, you know, quite a lot of money developing that in the end to just have it shot down by Apple. So it's not a good state of play, really. I think something's probably got to change in the law, you know, to stop that from happening.
So you do think that you'll develop for the app iPhone in the future?
Oh yeah, I already am. I've got a few other ideas which I'm working on, and most of those I imagine would be accepted by Apple. They're not all along the same lines as what I've done already. So the thing with the iPhone is there's lots and lots of different things that haven't been done yet, I guess the key is just figuring out what people want that hasn't been done yet. And if you can do that, and you know, you spend a little bit of time learning how to develop the apps, it's a really great way to make some money.
Is there any kind of sense within, I don't know, if the community of app developers in the Cydia group, the folks who have been rejected by the App Store, is there any kind of, you know, are there gripes? Are there, you know, senses of like taking, you know, action towards Apple or anything like that?
No, not at all. First thing to point out is that most of the people who develop apps for Cydia and for jailbroken phones, they haven't actually been rejected by Apple, because quite a lot of the apps that are available on Cydia, you wouldn't even be able to submit as a normal application to Apple anyway. Like they'll do things which hook into the internals of the phone, so it wouldn't even work if you submitted it to the App Store. That's the basic idea. But no, I think it's a very healthy community, and certainly I've received help from some of the people involved in that, and it's a very helpful and friendly community. I'd say it's, you know, they kind of have an interesting time, shall we say, keeping up with Apple when they say release a patch which prevents a jailbreak that can cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still alive and kicking very much, so.
So Apple, they actually release patches that'll prevent consumers from jailbreaking their phones?
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, basically, the way that you would jailbreak an iPhone, pretty much any way to do it, is going to involve a security vulnerability in the phone. The idea is that the phone is supposed to be totally secure for being jailbroken, which basically means getting complete access to the file system on the phone. So having full access to the phone, basically. The way to do that would be to, like I say, find some sort of security hole in the phone. So if somebody does that and releases a jailbreak that's based on a security hole, Apple are very quickly going to act to patch it, which is exactly what they've done. I think it was yesterday they released a patch which does prevent the the most recent jailbreak software from working, but it also prevents malicious people from taking advantage of that.
Do you have any idea of like what the kind of results of the success of this Wi-Fi sync app have been personally for you?
Obviously, the exposure for me has been fantastic. It's really great to have, especially considering I've not even finished at university yet. So it's really nice to have that behind me, and all the kind of press cuttings and all that sort of thing. It's just a nice thing to be able to say, well, look, I did this. But that's one of the benefits, and obviously also it's been a fairly, it's performed fairly well financially as well, just because of this success of the app.
I want to push back on one last thing that you had said earlier, because yeah. you were talking about that you're continuing to develop for the App Store, and you'd like to continue to develop for the iPhone in the future, but you also seem to be sort of hesitant because of the nature of what Apple, the control that Apple has over the platform. I wonder how you kind of deal with those two conflicting ideas in your mind. You really want to develop for this platform, but at the same time, there's a level of control over it that could potentially hinder your business in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think the success of Wi-Fi Sync, which obviously wasn't approved by Apple, has just gone to show that even if they say no to an app, then there's still plenty of success to be had out of it. So really, it's a message to anyone who's got an idea for an app which Apple would likely reject. There's still a huge market for it in Cydia.
Right, but it's still
should really
market.
Go for it. Well, it's a small market, yeah, but the number of sales I've had and the amount of money that Wi-Fi Sync has generated just goes to show that even a small segment of the iPhone market is huge amount of money still. So yeah, and a huge number of users. So I don't think it's a huge problem. And like I say, Apple, whilst I was disappointed they rejected my app, I also know they do it that sort of thing for good reasons generally. So they can't just allow anybody to submit any old thing and have it on their app store, because that would introduce all sorts of problems.
Well, the other thing is that Cydia still seems to be sort of the illegitimate market, the black market for the platform and the apps. It still seems to be, if not legally, then at least just branded as a place where people go to, like, the dark side. Or you have to at least be a tech person to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're doing to do it.
Well, yeah, if there was one thing I would say about Cydia, it that's maybe a little bit negative, is that it can take a little while to get used to. Even for someone like me, I'm fairly technically minded, and it was a bit confusing at first. It's, like you say, it is maybe meant for someone slightly more technically inclined than your regular Apple App Store user would be. And maybe that's something that needs to change over the next couple of months. And there's plenty of chance to do that. I mean, Cydia is open source, so anybody can go and contribute to it. And that's the great thing about it. So I'm sure that it will get better in that way. And certainly on the legal aspect, as you mentioned, it's actually, I don't know all the details, but I'm pretty sure that there's just been something happened in the States that basically said that iPhone jailbreaking is explicitly legal. So there are no legal issues with it whatsoever, and Cydia is, it's a fully legitimate legal application. So that, unfortunately, with jailbreaking, there's a lot of misinformation, and that's one of the things. Is it legal? Is it illegal? It's absolutely categorically legal, certainly in the States and over here as well in the UK. And the other question that I get asked quite a lot is, can it damage my phone? Is it dangerous? And the answer to that is also no, it can't, because the iPhone can be, say for example, you were to install something through Cydia which, did anything to your phone, you can always revert back to a pre-jailbroken state just within iTunes. It's very easy to do that. So there's not even any risk involved with it either. But those two things are probably why Cydia is seen as something that's a little bit, maybe, like you say, the dark side, a little bit dangerous, where it's not really the case at all.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I guess the only one of the main things is that you break your warranty for the phone, but that in that case, it might just be something that, you know, people view that as a plus, you know, just an extra. It's not necessarily something that they need to worry about.
Again, that's not even entirely true either, because say, for example, you jailbreak and then you restore back to an unjailbroken iPhone. You can just do that in iTunes, as I say. Just press restore. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, there's absolutely no way for anybody to have known that you've ever jailbroken your phone. Mm. Doesn't leave any kind of, you know, evidence behind. So, say for example, you jailbroke and then you restore back to pre-jailbroken state. Mm-hmm. Apple would never even know that you've jailbroken it. So, whilst they may say, "Oh, it voids the warranty," that's just obviously to scare people off. And the reality is, they have no real way of knowing if you've jailbroken your phone or not. So, it's not really dangerous in that way either.
Well, thank you so much for clearing those last those few things up, because that's actually really good to know, and I'm glad we have that on the record. And yeah, thank you in general for the interview. Thank you so much.
Sure, no problem.